We'll be doing something a little different during our message today. We'll be hearing from both Reverend Tracy and from Tom Needham.
What you're seeing on the screen is a slightly whimsical depiction of what we all try to do when we use words to communicate, which is sometimes a challenge. I will also be sharing a reading by religious historian and scholar Karen Armstrong. The one and only test of a valid religious idea, doctrinal statement, spiritual experience, or devotional practice is that it must lead directly to practical compassion. If your understanding of the divine makes you kinder, more empathic, or impels you to express this sympathy in concrete acts of loving kindness, this is a good theology. But if your notion of God makes you unkind, belligerent, cruel, self-righteous, or led you to kill in God's name, it's a bad theology. Compassion was the litmus test for the prophets of Israel, for the rabbis of the Talmud, for Jesus, for Paul, for Muhammad, not to mention Confucius, Lao Tzu, and the Buddha.
This month, our theme is trust. Today, we step into challenging territory, the territory of difference. And that requires trust. We have to trust each other with the ways that we are different and the ways that we are not the same. In Unitarian Universalist congregations, we promise to support each other's search for truth and meaning. And that means that sometimes we are asked to support each other's search for truth and meaning when we don't agree with their beliefs or understandings or language. UU congregations have humanists, theists, naturalists, Christians, Jews, Buddhists, Muslims, pagans, and other people with spiritual and theological beliefs that have no specific name. Since most of us come into a congregation wanting community, and since most people who come through our doors are good and interesting people, one way we manage our diversity is we don't talk about what makes us different. Instead, we talk about what makes us similar. We take comfort in our like-mindedness. Maybe we decide in our minds that everyone thinks pretty much how we do. Or we know for absolutely sure that other people do not believe as we do, and we stay silent. UU Christians, UU mystics, UU pagans often stay silent about their deepest beliefs and religious feelings in UU congregations. To share our differences requires trust that we will be welcome and we will still be loved even when people know we actually aren't like them in every way. That they might consider what we believe or have experienced to be strange. So today Tom and I are going to talk about religious language. Religious language is words like God, faith, prayer, holy, divine, spirituality, sermon, preaching, hymn, communion, worship, sanctuary, pulpit, church, and ministry. Religious people often use these words to describe what they do and what is important. These are words that some people at WOLF feel, describe what happens here, and speak to their own religious sensibilities. They are words that some people do not feel, but that do not describe what happens here, and can make them uncomfortable or even feel unwelcome. And that is a lot of difference. And it is a difference that matters, because it is how we refer to what we do, what we call committees, what we call parts of our building, and what we say when we gather together on Sunday mornings. And we can't pretend that those differences don't exist. And we can't simply vote on such differences, because the result would be that the minority is not getting supported on their spiritual search for truth and meaning, which is not Unitarian Universalist. We could give up on the idea of gathering in diversity and have UU pagan, UU Christian, and UU humanist congregations, but to me that also feels like giving up on the promise of our faith. I would like to tell you I know how to manage these differences, and I have to admit that I don't. UUs write and talk about these issues frequently. It is not just our congregation that struggles with this. But they have come up with no solutions that you can just take out of a box and apply to your congregation. So this service is my offering to you, to a hope that members of this congregation can trust each other enough to look in the eyes of someone who walks a different spiritual, personal, or religious path and say, if you too want to create a compassionate world, you are welcome here. Let us make a religious home that nourishes both of us. When Tom and I first met to discuss religious language, it became clear that to talk about the words we use, we had to first talk about what it is we do together and why we do it, since words are actually things we use to describe things that happen. The members and friends of WOLF gather together often, most frequently on Sunday mornings, but at other times too. Why do we do this? Why do we have a building? Get up on Sunday mornings, get dressed, and come here. Why do we spend precious hours here and volunteering in this community? Why is this the thing that we choose to do? Our society offers so many possibilities for ways to spend our time and our resources. Why this place? What is it we are doing together?
What I do, and this is a great, such a great question. Why are we here? Why am I here? Here's why I come here every Sunday. Most importantly, it's the shared search for truth and meaning. We're all on this journey together, and we can be much more effective searchers for that truth and meaning if we do it together. It's a community of shared values. I love the phrase in one of our hymns that we gather to make sense of what we find. Kindness. This community, I've had such first-hand experience recently with the kindness of this community, which has been really amazing. One of the words that I keep coming back to is celebration. Celebration of life, of being alive, and that we can be here now. Be here now. I also come here because of CareNet. These wonderful supportive institutions that we built over the years, and also social action. And boy, that's more than enough to keep me coming back every Sunday for 25 years.
I come here because I believe people need communities where the purpose is to remember what we value most, where we remember what is most worthy in our lives, and to recalibrate ourselves regularly to those higher goods. We need a place and time set aside to remember that all beings are part of the interdependent web. All people and all beings have value, and we are called to be compassionate. We gather to remember that mystics and prophets, psychologists and neuroscientists tell us that what matters most to a good life is gratefulness and love. Our culture is so incredibly distracting. There is so much to do and experience and buy and own and manage. With everything there is, it's hard to remembering what is most important. We are taught through a constant battering of media and cultural norms that a good life is professional success and the accumulation of experiences and things. It's easy to forget that those are not the things that actually make us happy. Coming here regularly reminds all of us to focus on what matters most. So we're here to talk specifically about traditional religious words. Do traditionally religious words describe what happens here at WOOF? Are they necessary to our purpose of coming together in community and to reminding ourselves of our highest values? Are they tarnished by religious traditions that are judgmental? Are they redeemable? What if we don't even agree about what they mean? So let's explore some specific words. What should we begin with?
Worship.
So do you find the word worship useful?
No. The traditional dictionary definition of worship is talks of praising and venerating a divine presence, a divine being, or supernatural power. And I'm unable to believe in a supernatural power, although I understand that can be remarkably comforting. I'm reminded there's an author who's written a book called Spiritual Envy, where he says, I don't believe in God, but I miss him. I don't believe in a God which interacts with everyday life. Now, there might be a force that created the universe, but I live a life with no expectation of divine guidance or intervention in my daily life. So, but what is worthy of praising and venerating is an individual using the most precious things we possess, and that is time and consciousness. Those are the gifts that we all share as human beings, and they're most precious to us. And so I praise and venerate someone to make life better, using those gifts to make life better for another person, for another sentient being, such as making life better for animals, and for making the environment better, the web of which we're all a part. And we all have examples of knowing that this has happened to us firsthand.
And I completely agree with that. I agree that what is most worthy is using our time and our consciousness to make life better for each other and our world. And I believe that is completely worth celebrating. And for me, worship is the word that perfectly describes doing just that. The word worship comes from Old English and means to shape worth. On Sundays, I feel like that is what we do. We come together and shape through our liturgy, our hymns, and the sermon, that which we find most worthy. We can see what is most worthy most clearly after we do this together. We can see and hear and experience our values as Unitarian Universalists.
I'm relying on the traditional definition in the dictionary that says honoring or reverence to God or to a God. I would prefer lauding our values and our Unitarian Universalist principles, and worship is not the right verb for me for that.
So what verbs might work for you?
I keep coming back to celebrating. Celebrating being alive, being together, celebrating this rich tradition that we've inherited, and celebrating this beautiful place that represents who we are and what we do. If there's anything worth celebrating, it is those things. Joy is celebration. None of that requires supernatural agency.
And I agree that those things are completely worth celebrating and don't require any supernatural agency. And I really like celebration too. Celebration is an important thing that we do here together on Sunday mornings. But I don't think it's the only thing we do. We also hold suffering. We contemplate. We consider all the ways that we fall short and find courage to face our pain and our desire to be compassionate people. For me, the word worship is a rich, deep word that calls us into community with all the people who have experienced awe, joy, gratitude, pain, and the experience of being human. People have gathered over millennia to make meaning of being alive, and worship is the word we have used in English for a long time to describe those gatherings. And I don't want to lose that meaning and that history.
So I guess we agree to disagree.
I guess we do.
What's another word?
I know a lot of people don't like the word prayer.
Yes. For me, prayer is an entreaty for divine intervention to temporarily suspend the rules of physics and chemistry to grant a wish. If one expects that, one is likely to be disappointed. If someone said, sometimes our prayers are answered, and the answer is no. Although there will be events that feel as though a prayer has been answered, I just can't see that it probably is.
And that is really interesting because I don't think of prayer as being an entity, an entreaty to the supernatural. I like Anne Lamont's ideas of the three prayers being wow, thanks, and help. Prayer to me is a deep expression of my soul or my deepest being. It's an exclamation or a painful cry. It goes out to the universe. It's speaking to myself, and all that is just beyond myself, including all of you.
Prayer is an expression of a fervent wish or an expression of emotion. Even just sent out to the universe. I personally experienced overwhelming intensity of the emotions of wow and thanks without necessarily appealing to a higher power.
So another word is religion. Some people say Unitarian Universalism is not a religion. Do you think you use them as a religion?
Well, no, we quibble a little bit. Compared to the Episcopalian experience of my youth, no. It depends on, Robin Williams calls Episcopalians Catholic light. Same rituals, half the guilt. So this depends on how individuals and groups use the concept of religion. There is the personal experience of faith and belief in spirituality. And religious practice and belief can help human cultures function better by improving trust and cohesion. There's a very interesting group of scholars that are studying religion according to the precepts of Darwinian evolution. And it has exactly that. Yeah, thank you. But even the kind of God, whether angry or benevolent, has reflected the culture where the particular religion emerged from. Of the three major Abrahamic religions that we know, that is Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, all share these characteristics: a universal belief in a common creed, imposed values and a detailed ethical structure, and a professional guide between the individuals and their God. If a religion requires these, then obviously Unitarian Universalism is not a religion because it doesn't have any of those. However, it is sufficient for a religion to have a shared ritual and values without a common creed, then we do have a religion. In my experience, this is unique. This experience that I've had here is unique, and one of the things that really works for me and keeps me coming back. This morning's reading from Karen Armstrong and the importance of moving toward compassion speak to me strongly about that.
So tell me more about your feelings about religion and the word religious or church even.
Well, what I mean by that is that some people feel that there has to be a dogma or a creed for it to be a religion. What appeals to me about Unitarian Universalism is it doesn't have those. I mean, it specifically appeals to me.
And I guess I think of religion as something that considers the big questions and has practices that remind us to consider these questions, whether it has a creed or a not. So that's how I think of religion.
And I agree. It's those questions and the quest to find those questions that make us human, that we all share. Each of us must find our own answers to what one psychologist refers to the four fundamental dilemmas of life. That is, the existential dilemmas. These are questions that make us human and what every human being on the planet shares. We all have to come to our own answers to death, freedom, meaning, and solitude. And a church is the one place in our culture that we can gather together to try to find our own answers to those dilemmas. In traditional religious institutions, there is one acceptable set of answers provided by the creed. Unitarianism is more challenging. There are no pre-digested answers. Each of us must find our own answers. And this also leads to another line from one of my favorite hymns, the question truly is the answer. So one of the reasons I come here is that the difference and the difference of why we come here Sunday rather than going to some like a bridge club or a bowling league or something like that is because this is the place where we get to try to struggle to find our own answers to those questions. We are all on a search for truth and meaning. And this is the place where we can do it together.
So if you didn't call an institution such as WUF religious or church or call Unitarian Universalism a religion, what word would you use?
This is really tough. fellowship has always worked for me for a long time because that's what this place was called when I walked in the door 25 years ago, and that's the noun that comes to mind. I once felt that fellowship meant something fundamentally different from church, but then I kind of discovered that the fellowship movement from the Unitarian National Association in the 50s was an effort to at least partly create more congregations. So I don't have a good noun for a place where a group of people join together to find truth and meaning. Church to me implies a belief in a divine being with supernatural agency. So when I describe this place that's so important to me and which has made such a difference in my life, I'm uncomfortable using church. But, interestingly, I'm less uncomfortable with the term spirituality because it's so common to hear the refrain, I'm spiritual but not religious. And in the humanist group, I've specifically been searching for the best of what humans can be and to find a spirituality that doesn't necessarily require a belief in the divine. And there are several. The one that emerged that I like the most is emerged from a grouping of a set of positive emotions that all human beings have evolved to feel. There are certain emotions that as humans we feel fear and greed and all kinds of emotions that we've evolved to feel, but there's a set of eight of them that taken together create a kind of really wonderful humanistic spirituality. These are compassion, forgiveness, love, hope, joy, faith, awe, and gratitude.
So I think that's an interesting question, like what would we call this place if you don't use the word religion or religious or church? So what does one call a community of people with common values and goals who deal with the big questions of life? And I really spent some time trying to think of a word, and Tom and I got together and we spent some time trying to think of some good words. And I really can't find anything but religious and religion to describe the type of institution that we are. I could think of other names for worship, celebration, Sunday service, ritual, shaping of worth, remembrance of values. I could keep going. I don't prefer most of those names, but I could come up with them and I could use them, but I simply couldn't come up with a synonym for religion or religious that describes what we do when we come together.
Words are names we give to concepts which are important to us. Ultimately, the words are less important than the concepts.
And I completely agree.
And thank you. Thank you for this journey together.
Yes. Some words reverberate with meaning and importance for some of us, like worship and prayer do for me. I like those words. I like the way they connect us with history and a whole tradition of gathering to consider what is important. Since I wasn't raised in a religious tradition, they didn't get battered or corrupted for me. In seminary, I was invited through reading all kinds of theology to open my imagination to new possibilities for those words, because that is actually one thing theologians do. But it's not been the same for Tom, who hears in much of traditional religious language a claim that there is a supernatural being. They have, and those words do have that connotation for many people, and it's backed up by the dictionary and by the youth in faith that do believe in a God who acts over and beyond the laws of nature. And so this is what I ask of all of us as we face the difference, to get curious. Tom and I got curious with each other. And it's possible, as you get curious, to discover that you're using words in completely different ways, such as Tom and I have different meanings for the word worship, in fact. Or maybe there really is an actual difference. And this is where we need to learn to be trustworthy and faithful to our calling to be compassionate people. Maybe your friend prays to a God with power to change things. If that's not your belief, keep being curious. Be tolerant. Be accepting. Or maybe your friend finds the idea of praying even as an exclamation of the heart to be insupportable. If that's not what you think, keep being curious. Be tolerant. Be accepting. And that, it is through those small acts over time that we build trust with one another about what is most deepest and meaningful in our hearts. But I want to acknowledge to you that there is something more is asked of me. As host minister, I minister to all of you. While traditional religious language resonates with me metaphorically, and I will use it in my own life, in my official role as leading Sunday morning services or in the work that I do to help make Wolf happen, I want to use language that speaks to each and every one of you. And in any given moment, this is absolutely impossible. Religious language impacts each of us differently. So this is the promise that I'm going to make to you, that I am going to use a variety of language to talk about what we do together in my public roles as your minister. And I will work with others who prepare our services to do the same thing. And what this means is that sometimes the language we use will welcome you in, and other times it's going to leave you cold and uncomfortable. And when this happens, what I ask of you is to look at one of your neighbors and think, this moment could be a gift for them. Your tolerance in that moment is a gift of compassion to your neighbor. And growing into compassion is what this community is really about. So we will have 5 minutes of questions for those who wish to stay.
I'll bring the mic around.
Hi. Thank you so much for an incredible discussion and service. It means a lot to those of us.
I got lucky with my conversation partner.
You did indeed. I found it interesting that when Tom was speaking of religion and all these things, you used church just as part of your discussion without really examining the fact that you seemed quite comfortable using that word. And as a person of Jewish heritage, I wanted to say, well, here's a good word, synagogue. Hey, let's go to synagogue on Sunday. Because if you remove the Christianity from church, which, again, in the dictionary is very hard to do, let's go to temple. Let's be Buddhists. Or why can we not also use other words for church?
So there is actually a word that works across denominations, which is congregation. It's your congregation, whether you're Buddhist, Jewish, or Muslim, the congregation is really, there is actually a word there that actually works, which is so lovely. But for religion and religious, there really isn't. But for church and synagogue and temple, there really is, actually.
When I first moved here, I came from Memphis, Tennessee. And the word for our Unitarian congregation was church. But we found it sort of handy. Because have you ever explained to a Southern Baptist what a Unitarian congregation was? And it was very useful, especially to the children who had difficulty explaining and who were constantly told that they were going to hell right up front. It was really nice for the kids and adults to have this common imagery that people could understand. Even if we saw it differently, it still was helpful.
I find the word communion very helpful, although it has some associations with Christianity. But for me, it means a sharing of experience and an enrichment that doesn't go to the supernatural, but the super Doug Watson. It includes all those who are like us somewhere, finding communion with nature, with each other, with the sick, with the halt, with the black, with the gay, and for the hurting. So I find communion both here in the midst of this fellowship and in the wider world very meaningful.
This is Kim. When I saw the title of today's For Your Sake I'll Say sermon, I thought, but this is the trust month. How's she going to make it relate? And I realized what makes a variety of religious language okay with me, and it didn't used to. I used to be very down on any kind of religious language, and it used to be a real barrier. And what has made me much more flexible and relaxed about what words people use is trust, as you said at the beginning. And I realized when I first came to WOOF, what I was hoping for is that I would make friends with like-minded people, and I did. But the thing that was so valuable in the long run, and still is the people here who are not my friends and are not necessarily like-minded in the way that I used to think of that, but whom I trust nevertheless. And I've had to realize that there is actually a difference between liking and trust. And what makes this a community for me is the fact that I trust these people, whether I like them or not. If I like them, that's, you know, fun. That's a bonus, of course. But it's not just the liking. And I guess that's, I would almost say that's what makes it a religious community for me, is that it's not the bowling league. It's not just a matter of having a good time and liking the people. There's more than that.
I think you both did a wonderful job, but I think you both forgot one thing. The whole name of this place, the last word is fellowship. And I always like to think it's a fellowship. Whatever that means, I don't know, but it's better than church.
Yes. And that's fine. We are both, so. So our closing words are to go forth in trust and go forth in love.